First up is Andy with why you play back to back sucks. He's going first because it was all his idea.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Right.
Well, yes, the title of my talk is why play backpack sucks. A little bit of background. Play backpack is a backup program. It's basically meant to make it easy for a user to create incremental backups of all their files. And so you make one backup, and then the next backups are smaller because it only backs up the ones the files that have changed. So anyway, it was Dave's Google Summer of Code project in 2005. He was just learning Python back then, so it's not exemplary of his coding skill.
What, Dave?
Exactly. Yes. So it was a lot to do. You can understand it. Just over the summer, he had to do this program. So he had to rush to meet the deadline, and he had to do it for Fedora. But they wouldn't let it into Fedora on time, so he kind of lost interest in it and considered it dead. He said on the Bugzilla, and so I jumped onto the bandwagon, and I said I got a bit of time on my hands over the summer, so I took it on board, and yoink. So I took over the backpack in 2006, August. I set about learning the code and getting used to it. It took a while. I reorganized the SVM repository because it was basically just a load of files, and I organized it into branches, tags, and trunk, as is traditional for the repositories. And I told the Fedora folks it was alive again. As I was doing this talk, the slides for this, I thought this is a bit harsh. So, sorry, Dave. In advance. Right, so let's get stuck in. Right, the initial suckiness comes from, the fact that it was quite badly modularized. The files weren't organized into classes, and well, some of them were, some of them weren't, and lots of the files were all over the place, and it wasn't kind of set into the proper modules that normal Python projects are. It was quite a maintenance nightmare because it was hard to find where bugs are, and there's lots of duplicate code and things like that. Not lots, but there was some. There were some fundamental bugs that was, I'll come back to that later. It seemed to be too dependent on the GNOME libraries, because some of the distributions that tried it out said, "What, we've got to install the whole of GNOME just to use this thing?" And as such, it was not attracted to other developers, so it didn't get many patches and things. Right, some of the examples of the bugs we were looking at. If you symlinked one of your file in your home directory to a file above your home directory, and then tried to back up your home directory, it would go into an infinite loop, and that would be just trying to check the files for which ones would be backed up and not actually backing them up yet. SSH wasn't used properly. I'll come back to that later as well. Progress bars didn't show progress, which was quite interesting. They just made a guess at where it was in the backup process, and it was unable to restore it from the CD. So, quite an interesting challenge. Don't know if you can see that very well, but that's an example of one of the screens on the playback. It's a good effort. Everything's there in front of you that you need to do. Not really. I didn't make too many screenshots of this, so on the home tab, it's basically just a button saying click here to back up your home directory to a CD, which is very easy to use, but wasn't very configurable. The restore did the same thing, but restores, obviously. An example of how bad it was. GUI.py is the main part of the program. I think 90% of the whole program is in this GUI.py file, and it's quite a large file, 1,281 lines. It had two classes in it. It was, I think one of the classes was for the main kind of graphical user interface parts, and the other part was for the kind of wizard that you use to create your backup sets. And it was made of 60 functions, 12 global declarations, and that's it's quite a lot of global declarations for a program to have. You don't really need to use that many usually, because if you're using like you know, some good well-structured classes and things like that. The longest function was 109 lines, which it's spanning a couple of screens there. You have to scroll down to find out where you're trying to look for. The most informative error message ever. It tries to SSH into the host that you want to back up to using the Chrome BFS, and if it can't, then just print what the fuck. All right, but Dave's code wasn't the only one that was at fault. Upstream, we have the project uses IDF backup as the actual thing that does all the backups for it. It was unable to restore from read-only location, so if you backed up to CD, you wouldn't be able to restore from it. I submitted a patch for that after getting really, really irritated by it, and it was accepted. And it uses file lists in which you can put like asterisks to fill in a part of the files to so you don't have to write every single file anymore. And but you couldn't escape those asterisks, unfortunately. So I patched that as well, and it was accepted, and version 1.1.9 will be suck-free with those patches in. Unfortunately, the IDF backup process is a bit slow to release new versions and to get them into the mainstream, so we'll have to wait a while until it's in the distros and things. Libmiltos burn. This is horrible. It's a moving target, basically. The API is just horrible to keep up with. So basically, it works on say Ubuntu Edge now because I've changed the code to for the updated API, but it doesn't work on Dapper or Debian Unstable or anything like that with an older GNOME. So now I've started doing some fixes. I fixed a few of those bugs that I mentioned earlier. It's getting a bit more stable now, and better progress reporting. I fixed the bugs with the progress bars, so that you know, it would actually, if I didn't know where it was in the program, it would just pull the progress bar back and forth. And if I knew where it was in the program in the backup process, then it would actually increment it. And it runs a bit faster. I replaced some of the recursive code that that found a load of files in the file tree with Python's os.walk, which was a bit better, and it didn't loop with the symlinks after that. So what am I going to do now? I'm going to split that GUI.py, that big mammoth, into lots of logical classes and things, so it's a bit better on the object-oriented side. I'm going to split those. The classes out into those. I've already started with the make isofs wrapper in class. So basically, you just give it a bunch of a file name, and it'll make an ISO out of that, and it'll there's a callback in it which will give you progress in percentage. So that's quite interesting to have a look at. As I said, improve the modularity, so it'll keep the graphical user interface away from all the logic and the engine and things like that. Stabilize it first, and then I'll start adding features. I don't want to start getting ahead of myself and doing lots of shiny things before it's actually stable and working. And I should really support those old APIs that live north of this boom to work on Debian and Dapper. And I've actually started a rewrite in a branch of the Subversion repository. It's very skeletal at the moment. I might actually go in that direction instead of trying to work out the problems with the old code. Right, fixing the GUI, keep it simple, stupid. I want to split into different, as you can see in that it's all basically in tabs, that's good, but I would like to make it so that the backup stuff would be in one whole different window, so you could run the backup stuff independently from the restore, because you don't really need to backup and restore at the same time. That's just silly. And also make the backup set editor again a different thing. One-click backups, as I said, the home tab that let you backup to CD, but it didn't let you specify another way to backup, like over SSH or to a file or something like that. So making it more configurable would be good. And making it run from the command line instead of running from the GUI would be a good thing, because it would help with the whole modularity thing and keeping the GUI separate from the logic in the engine. What now? The social side. I want to get more people involved, which means submitting code, adding patches, just making it better for different platforms and things. I've had some reports from a person using Mac OS X, and he said that he's going to send me some patches that he got it working on OS X, so that'll be cool. Documentation. It's very low on documentation at the moment, and documentation is really important, especially on the development side, because no one's really interested in a program that they don't know how to fix. Getting into the distributions. It's already a bug open on getting it to Fedora, which has been going since Dave worked on it, but they're very fussy. They want to see something perfect, I think, before it goes into Fedora. Bug reporters of people too. I want to, you know, I want to be nice to people who submit bugs, and maybe they'll submit more bugs and get involved a bit more. And improve the communication with upstream. So probably using the word wrongly there, but it's with the GNOME and IDF backup developers, so that my program runs better on those. Right. So what can you do? You can check out PyBackpack, you can file bugs, write documentation if you want, submit patches, or you can just use it to do your backups. And there's a couple of links there if you want more information. I'll put these slides on the interweb later, so in case you want to refer back to them. And thank you.